Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to have you with us. I wasn't sure quite what kind of congregation to expect this morning on this, with this being Halloween. I was so close to wearing a Halloween costume this morning, but I thought maybe it would be better to wear my typical outfit, which I hope isn't quite as scary as what I was planning to be for Halloween, but I hope that you're able to enjoy this holiday. Enjoy passing out candy. I suspect that nearly 50% of you are happy today, and nearly 50% of you are not so happy today. And I'm sorry for those of you who are unhappy, and I'm grateful for those of you who are ecstatic. And for those of you who are unhappy, you know, like, just blame it on the refs, you know, it's all good. Yeah, exactly. But it was a wonderful game, and I just want to say, you know, for those of you that may not be aware, last week we had a wonderful event for the Vena Dental Clinic to begin the festivities leading up to the Michigan State game, and folks gathered at the Crystal Gardens Banquet Center just a little bit north of here, and it was a phenomenal turnout, wonderfully well attended. Michigan did get the bragging rights for having raised the most amount of money for the Vena Dental Clinic. So in my opinion, you sort of like get to share championships. The real winners of that event, of course, are all of the folks in our community who benefited so much from nearly $75,000 of donations to the Vena Dental Clinic. Some of that will get paid out. Amen. Yeah. Some of that will get paid out in expenses for the event, but I'm just so incredibly grateful for the generosity of folks that donated items for the silent auction, for so many of our church members who turned out to that wonderful event. It was a great night for Vena, a great night for our church, and like I said, most importantly, a wonderful night for those who will benefit from all of the services that the Vena Dental Clinic provides right here on our campus. We are a church that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God. We're a church that is striving and pushing ourselves this month to be extravagantly generous, to explore what it means to be extravagantly generous ourselves, and to allow God's generosity expressed to us to be poured out through us to other people. And we're continuing our sermon series about extravagant generosity this week. As we continue and worship together this day, I hope that something about this service touches and inspires your life so that you can be more extravagantly generous yourselves with your time and your talent and your treasure. And with that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in worship as we gather to praise God this day. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, First Church. Glad to see everybody here today. Happy Halloween. The opening prayer today, it will be on the screen. Please join me. Great giver of all, we bring our thanks and praise in worship today. Guide us as we make financial pledges to the work of your church. Guide us toward extravagant generosity in your name with the blessings you have first given us of our time, our talents, our possessions. In our holy name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to be seated as we continue to worship God together this day. And I'd like to invite for Tim and Angela. They're going to be sharing with us their stewardship moment this month. So if you wouldn't mind, please welcome them to the front with a warm, bright welcome as we celebrate this day.
Good morning. Oh, there you go. Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be worshiping with you guys, and I'd like to echo some of John's words, go green. I know you said that inside of you. but I just want to say how grateful we are to be attending this church. We've been attending for almost a year now, a little bit over a year. And when we first started attending, it was sort of, I think, in the height of the pandemic. We're still in it, but it was at that time where we were just looking for a church that really we felt was being sort of exemplary in how to sort of react and respond to the there some of the environmental stuff we're going to. I just remember listening to my wife and I listening to some of the messages here and just really being drawn to just how appreciative we were just about really addressing some of the tough issues we are going through, you know, that had kind of brewed up a little bit, and just thinking about how grateful to have a church that's willing to kind of stand up and really sort of take on these issues, you know, head on. And so and the other thing we really just appreciate about coming to this church is its ability to be what a lot of churches I feel like should be in their communities. Really have so many ministries to be that are benefiting the community in such a way. I always, you know, my wife and I are both social workers, and we're thinking about how you know, if a lot of churches did what this church did, how would, you know, there will be less of social services, you know, around the, you know, state and the country, just because of how much really you pour into the community and look to benefit the community. So all that comes from the, you know, obviously the church's giving and ability to really be intentional about supporting the community in which we live and play.
I'm Angela, and I actually grew up in this church. So I grew up here with my family attending, and then we just recently came back about a year ago. And I would echo what Tim said, and just that, you know, I've always wanted to and kind of had a heart for supporting the church, but sometimes have felt like, you know, I'm, at least with financial giving, sometimes choosing between supporting the church or supporting, you know, social efforts that meet needs in the community. And here I feel like they're really one and the same, because there is so much showing Christ by meeting the needs that our community has, which I really appreciate about being here. So that's all I have to say.
Amen.
Oh, and I also hear you guys have some great brunches. And so at some point, once things open up, can't wait to participate. So, thank you.
Awesome.
Okay, sure. Thanks. All right, now I'm back where I belong. The Bible reading this morning is from John, chapter 3, verse 1. And I have to admit, I've probably given more contemplation and thought to this particular verse than any other one in the Bible. John 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Liz. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to give. Amen. Well, you've heard us reference the sermon series that we've been on a couple of times this morning, and it's been exciting to sort of talk about the different stages of Bishop Robert Schnazy's book. He's a bishop in the United Methodist Church, talking about extravagant generosity and the sources of our extravagant generosity. Where does generosity come from? How do we live generous lives? And it really deep diving into this concept of extravagant generosity through testimonies, through hearing people's stories of how they have given, how they have given of themselves, their time and their talent and their resources. And we have been most grateful, I would say, in the midst of this sermon series, that nearly 150 of you have been receiving early morning daily devotionals that have been sent out. They've been written both by Bishop Robert Schnazy and by members of this church. And I hope that they've been an inspiration for you as you reflected on generosity and moved yourself, hopefully, into a more generous place. But I think the piece that's spoken to me most about this last sermon series, which this is the end of it, by the way. Next week, we'll be doing something else. It'll be All Saints Sunday. And I know that churches sometimes get a little bit anxious. You're like, Pastor, you've been talking about financial generosity for 4 weeks. We know. And I'll be honest with you, we feel that too. We're sort of like, and now in November, let's go to something else. But we've been in these 4 weeks sort of talking about this. And the most inspiring thing to me about this sermon series has been all of the responses that people have written on those yellow cards that are posted on the sunflowers out in the community room and at our Whitmore Lake campus. They're in the sanctuary. We've asked people, what do you love about the church? And there have been all kinds of responses that have come in. People have loved the fact that they feel like this is their second home. They've talked about how comfortable and safe and welcoming this church is. They've talked about the missions and outreach and the ways in which this church impacts and transforms the community. They've talked about walking through the doors of the sanctuary and feeling like they've been transported to another place. And all of those cards are on full display out in the sunflowers. And I encourage you to take a look at that. we also asked folks, who is somebody that's inspired you? And if you look out there in the community room, you'll see cards that are filled with the names of previous clergy here at the church and friends and family members who have inspired you all in the faith. And it's been so neat to read all of the cards of all of the saints who have walked this journey before us. Finally, there are wonderful cards out there about what our hopes, dreams, visions, and aspirations are for the future of the church. And I'm here to tell you, there was a tremendous amount of harmony in those cards. Almost all of them, if you go out into the community room and read what all of the cards say, like to a T, except for one that I saw, said, "We have a hope, a dream, an expectation, a vision for a future of this church that is filled with young children and youth." It was a resounding vision for the future of the church, and it's been so neat to read that, and we hope to continue to live into that future as a church together. The only other thing that I saw, a hope, dream, vision, expectation, was solar panels on the roof, which I thought was really exciting, and it's something that we can aspirationally strive for in the future, and that was a neat vision as well. In addition to that, there were a couple of cards that mentioned, "I dream of a church that continues to reach out with compassion and concern for folks that are less fortunate than we are, and I hope that we continue to grow in our outreach in that area as well." I was just pulling some reports and talking a little bit with our treasurer, Art Neff, recently, and I recently discovered that this year, with everything going on with the pandemic, with, you know, I don't know if you remember, like, I've kind of mentally blocked this out, but earlier this year, we were worshiping exclusively online. Does anybody remember that? It has been a crazy year. And we like, last year we were preparing for Christmas Eve. We didn't know if it'd be in person or online, and there were all kinds of crazy things happening. But with all of that, I pulled a report that said that this year, with everything going on, people losing employment, folks stepping away from positions, retiring, everything that was going on, people getting sick with COVID and everything, this church has given away $75,000 to mission projects outside of the local church. That included Vena Dental Clinic raising money for an x-ray machine. It included sending youth and children down to Cass Community Social Services for the Youth Mission Project. It included a scrap metal drive that set a record this year of raising over $5,000 for Redbird Mission. It's been an amazing year of ministry at the church. And it's interesting, you know, when you read that passage, and Liz, I appreciate what you said, that it's a passage that probably many of us have spent a ton of time contemplating in John's gospel. If you remember, Jesus had just gotten finished teaching Nicodemus that if you want to live a new life, you have to be born again. That's what he said to Nicodemus. And right after that, he makes this statement, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone might be saved, that they might have life and have it abundantly. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but so that the whole world might be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ." But what stood out to me, and I have to admit, I had read this passage probably hundreds of times. It probably was somewhere on a sign at Spartan Stadium yesterday, would be my guess, or at least outside of it. Somebody was probably holding up a sign that said John 3:16. But it said, "For God so loved the world, he gave." I don't know about you, but it's probably easy for us to come up with reasons why, if you and I were God, if we were sitting up in heaven, looking down over all of the activities of the world today, that maybe you would have some trepidation about giving. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you were looking down at all of humanity and seeing all the things that were going on with global conflicts and violence and murders and abuse and neglect and all the things that are going on in the world today, maybe if you were sitting up in the high throne of heaven in God's chair looking down over the world going, "Should I give? I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with the politics. I don't necessarily believe in the things that are going on in the world today. Maybe I ought to just wait." And maybe God could have done that. Maybe God could have sort of sat this hand out and just let us to ourselves to sort of figure it out, to deal with our own brokenness, to allow the world to sort of fall apart in turmoil and conflict and consternation. But it says in John 3:16 that because God so loved the world, he gave. And what's incredible to me about this passage is if you just take a moment and think about what God's gift in Jesus Christ has done to transform the world, it is probably the single greatest act of extravagant generosity that the world has ever known. And we know the story of Jesus. It doesn't particularly go well for Jesus. It's sort of a rough story, right? Like, Jesus comes into the world. It's beautiful, the story of incarnation. Jesus is born into the stable, a manger with animals, and that part's good. But not long into Jesus' ministry, the first time that he goes back to Nazareth to preach, they're literally ready to throw Jesus off a cliff. The prophet is not welcome in his own town. And shortly thereafter, only 3 years into Jesus' earthly ministry, they're shouting from every place in the city of Jerusalem, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And I have to believe God knew all of that. The moment that God sent Jesus to this world to transform it for the good, to make the world a better place, to model for all of us this self-emptying generosity and this extravagant love. The word generosity actually is a 15th century word. It comes it literally means to generate, to give life to bring a new thing into existence that didn't exist before. And I'm here to tell you that your extravagant generosity does the same thing. When you come to this community of faith and when you invest in what God is doing here, it literally brings new things into existence that didn't exist before. I know a number of years ago when we were thinking about a place to celebrate the lives of faithful members of our church that had given and been a part of this community of faith for many of years, somebody came up with a vision to create a beautiful memorial garden just outside this sanctuary that has been cared for by the saints for years and years and years. But it's a beautiful spot that was the result of somebody's extravagant generosity. This sanctuary in and of itself was an act of faith, a dream, a vision to create a larger space for more people to come to worship, to hear the messages, to participate in worship, and to experience God's grace for themselves. And so this very sanctuary that we're sitting in is one of those fruits, one of those things that was generated, brought into life that wouldn't have existed without the extravagant generosity of the saints who have come before us. At the Vena Dental Clinic, there's an x-ray machine, and I was just talking with Dr. Fred Bonine, who gave a testimony here a couple weeks ago last week at the Vena tailgate event, and I asked Fred, what difference does it make, you know, that you have this x-ray machine? And he told me that previously a patient would come in, and maybe they've got a cavity, and you'd take a photograph with the x-ray machine, and then you look at it, right? And if you can imagine, like, it was sort of like looking into a TV from the 1950s, and you're like, I'm pretty sure I recognize who that person is, but in the x-ray, you could barely tell whether or not there was a cavity there or some deeper issue. And so as a result, the patient would have to get on a Let's bus and go all the way up to Fred Bonine's office and get their teeth x-rayed with a more sophisticated piece of equipment, then sent back down to Vena to have the treatment done all over again. But because of this church's extravagant generosity, now when the University of Michigan medical students who work at the Vena Dental Clinic, they're there with Fred and other folks who volunteer their time there, they just look at it, they perform the procedure, and the patient is out the door. Literally something that was created from your extravagant generosity that made the patient experience better at the Vena Dental Clinic because of your gifts. There's a board outside the sanctuary filled with names of folks who have been extravagantly generous to the church over the years. It's a tree where everybody who has given gifts during the course of their life is commemorated by having one of the leaves on the tree. And I don't know exactly what all of the future of this church looks like. I mean, we get to write that together, but I'm confident of this, that those tree leaves will continue to be filled up with names like you guys. And it doesn't have to be big, grandiose things like the memorial garden or a sanctuary. It might simply be that some of you might be willing to come over and help us paint the well, which we're in the midst of doing right now. It might be just setting aside a couple of hours of your time to come throw some paint up against the wall and help us care for that space so that the next generation of youth, which many of you said is your dream, your vision, your hope for the future of this church, that we might be a place where folks come to experience God's grace, whether they're 1 year old or 18 years old, some increasing outreach to young adults. We're excited about that as a church. In the midst of this sermon series, we're asking folks to take a moment to pray about it. Maybe you've been doing that over the last month, and to submit an estimate of giving card, which they're available in the back at the table as you exit the sanctuary, and it helps us plan. It helps us answer the questions of what we can do here in the church, and we're so grateful that we've already heard back from 140 families and individuals who have decided what they were able to give to the church. And I thank you for that. At this point, we're exactly 8 estimate of giving cards ahead of where we were last year and nearly $50,000 ahead of where we were last year at this time. I'm inspired by that extravagant generosity. I was talking to somebody earlier this morning who told me, they're like, I hear you keep track of the number of folks, and it's not necessarily an amount, but I hear you keep track of the number of folks who increased their giving. So I submitted a second estimate of giving card with $1 more than I gave last year. And I said, thank you so much. We appreciate that folks feel a desire to contribute to what God is doing in our church. And we are so excited about the ministry plans that we have for 2022. Your extravagant generosity has already been on full display here at this church. Incredible things have happened because of the extravagant generosity of church members. We built a gazebo down at Whitmore Lake, and this is an amazing story. We did a wedding last year at Whitmore Lake, and the bride and groom were excited. They stood literally right in front of the lake, which if you're looking to get married, I highly recommend that as a venue. And we built this gazebo, and sure enough, the bride drove by and pulled into the parking lot as the gazebo was being finished, and she said, where was this last year? And we almost said, well, if you ever get married again, no, we didn't say that. But beautiful things are happening all across this church. Next Sunday, on November 7th, All Saints Sunday, in between the 9:30 and the 11 o'clock service, after we celebrate All Saints in the sanctuary, I want to invite you to a ribbon cutting event across the grass, really is all it is, over at the well. In between the services, we'll celebrate an incredible $10,000 gift that came in a memorial fashion to help us redo the entire deck of the well. It's a beautiful space. And in addition to that, Allison, our children and youth director, has a wonderful vision for the youth space at the well. All of the walls are getting repainted. There's some new furniture that's going in there. And she has a vision for youth worshiping over at the well space. She's got a guitar. I don't know how she has so many talents, but she's teaching the kids downstairs in Sunday school right now, and she'll be leading a worship experience for the youth on Sunday nights. And a couple of weeks ago, she gathered all of the youth for an opportunity for them to share their hopes, dreams, and visions. And we were excited to find out that there were 15 youth that showed up a couple of weeks ago in the middle of the pandemic to talk about their hopes, dreams, expectations, and visions for the future of our church. And I can't wait to see what that blossoms into. We would love for you to join us in between the services next Sunday for a celebration and rededication of that space for ministry. We're so grateful for your incredible support, and I believe that all of us are following in the example that God set for us when he was nearly 2,000 years ago looking down into the earth, wondering if God might be able to put some skin in the game by sending his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave. I'm hoping that in the midst of this sermon series, you've been able to reconnect with the things that you love about this church so that you might too partner with us in your giving, that you might follow in the example of God through Jesus Christ, that you might help us accomplish the great things that God has in God's vision for the future of this church. We thank you for your extravagant generosity, and we look forward for a year of continued stories and testimonies about how God is transforming people through this church. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your faith. And thank you for your love that you share so freely with folks that we might not ever have the benefit of meeting ourselves. For God so loved the world, he gave. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your incredible acts of selflessness and generosity, for the ways in which you touch our lives and transform us to be ever more like your son, Jesus Christ, who is willing to come and live amongst us, who is willing to come and teach us and give us an example for what it looks like to live a faithful life. Allow us to be faithful ourselves. Allow us to be inspired by your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a great morning it's been so far. The last of Bishop Snazy's devotionals, reading them, I've tremendously enjoyed it. The reflection has just been amazing. I'm so grateful to those people that contributed to the devotions that John sent out during the week. It's been great to hear from you. And also the testimonies. We heard another one this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about that. And one of the reasons I was reading this week from Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, where Jesus is asked by the Pharisees when they'll see the kingdom of God. And Jesus essentially says, it's already here. The kingdom of God is here. You won't see it, and it's here because it's in the people. And it's reflected in your giving and all the mission and everything that we do here from the church. And that's very exciting. Thank you. And you may notice that we do have two prayer quilts. One of our missions, one of the things we do here, we have the prayer quilts group, and we give them to people that are in need of our prayers, and we pray for them. And at the end of the service, we sign a card, tie a knot. Today, you'll notice that we have two prayer quilts. One is for Doug, a friend of Bruce Stark, and another one is for Stephanie, a friend of Deborah and Ed Sharp. So won't you take a minute to reach out with me, and let's pray for them right now. Merciful, loving God, we are so grateful for your healing and your strength and the comfort that you give. As we reach out our arms here this morning, we pray that in those blankets, when they wrap those blankets around them, that they may know that we've prayed for them, and that you are there to comfort them and give them strength. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may think that I'm dressed as a funeral director for Halloween. No, it wasn't the intention. Sorry. The reason I'm wearing black, I have a tie on this morning, and it's the only thing that I wanted to be noticed. It has on there the Lord's Prayer. And every week we recite the Lord's Prayer. And there are times that I felt like sometimes, you know, am I just reciting it? Or am I feeling it in my heart? Am I when I pray to God, is that what I'm doing? Because when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, if you get a chance, Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, verses 9 through 11 or something like that. But anyway, he didn't tell us to pray that. It was how we're supposed to pray. So I apologize. This morning, I'm changing things up a bit. As we go, we're going to go down through the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to pause after each section. I'll still repeat the Lord's Prayer at the end, but just to focus on those things that Jesus passed on to us to focus on. So would you please now join me in an attitude of prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We will praise your name and constantly speak your praises. We will honor the glory of your name and worship your holiness. Hear our silent prayers as we respectfully consider your holiness. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Write your instructions on our hearts, so we take joy in doing your will. Teach us your ways and lead us by your Spirit to accomplish your purpose. Hear our silent prayers as we consider how you shape our lives for good. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us trust you for food, drink, and clothing, as you know our needs. Let us give our anxieties and worries to you because you care for us. Hear our silent prayers as we give thanks for all that you provide. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You sacrificed your Son so we could be forgiven of overwhelming sin. Encourage our forgiving others as often as they ask to be forgiven. Hear our silent prayers as we humbly confess our sins to you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help us watch and pray as our spirits are willing, but our bodies are weak. Help us keep your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Hear our silent prayers as we consider your wisdom to recognize temptation. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Be yours now and forever. Remind us that your kingdom is already among us in people's hearts. We need not be discouraged with sad hearts if we put our hope in you. Hear our silent prayers as we trust you to work everything for our good. Merciful God, you love the world so much that you gave your only Son. Thank you for offering the gift of eternal life to those who believe in him. Thank you for sending him to save us while we were deserving to be judged. Hear our voices in unison as we now say the words that Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen, Greg. Thank you so much for those wonderful words of prayer and for leading us all in a very sacred and holy experience as we gather for worship this day. I'm going to invite up Bill Draving, who's going to be sharing with us a mission moment. And as he comes forward, we'll invite our ushers to come forward and receive this morning's offering. And we're grateful for every gift that has come into the church over the course of this last year and really throughout time. But if you feel so moved to submit an estimate of giving card, like I said, they're available at the table in the back. We've been moving through this whole month, inviting folks to share those with us. And we invite you to drop those in the offering plate if you would like to this morning as well. Thank you so much for your incredible generosity.
Well, good morning. My name is Bill Draving. I am the coordinator of missions at this church. We don't say there's a mission leader because with so many missions we have going on here, we have like 30 different mission leaders. There is a brochure. Next slide, please. So our brochure is here that displays our missions that we have going on. Next slide, please. So if you have any questions about a specific mission, please pick one of these up. They're online, or just talk to me. I'll be happy to point you in the right direction. So what I want to talk about today, though, is what we have going on coming up in Advent. Next slide, please. So whether you are a dork, whether you like blood, whether you are a member of Sarah Lewis, or if you like to help foster kids, we have something for you. So we'll start off by the coats that are going to be collected for Cass and St. Andrews. I feel kind of selfish sometimes because I get to hand the coats out to people. I get to see their face where they come up for breakfast when they're cold, literally walking up with like a short sleeve shirt on in the winter. And I offer them a coat and just that look on their face of what you guys have donated. I just wish you could see that. I wish you could share it and volunteer to help sometimes so that you can see it, because it is an incredible, humbling moment when you realize that the people that I'm looking out here, what you donate, what you give, goes directly to someone to keep them warm. So thank you, Dorcas Circle, for coordinating that. We also are collecting socks for the Regency at Whitmore Lake. Non-skid socks for the residents there. We are collecting toys and other gifts for Gifts of Hope. So these are kids that are in foster care in Livingston County that we're going to give a Christmas to. So you can see Mary Kirshner and sign up for that. We're also collecting gloves and mittens that will be given out to people along with the coats. That's by the Sarah Lewis group out of the United Methodist Women. Then we're collecting blankets. So not collecting blankets. We're collecting money to buy blankets for two Sundays that these blankets will be given out to people again in the time of winter coming up to keep them warm. And, you know, people always say that the church asks for so much, sometimes they even ask for your blood. Well, that is true. Coming up the week before Christmas, we are having a blood drive at this church. So we are asking for your blood here at this church. And I would like to say, I know John said next week after church to go cut the ribbon. The problem with this church is we do so many missions. We have so many things going on at one time. I would also like to ask next week as you leave this church to stop out there and make a lunch for Noah. We're making 300 lunches next Sunday that we're going to take to the homeless down in Detroit. So on your way over to the well next week after church, if you'll stop out there and make a lunch, we'd like you to help us join in missions because that's what this church does. Amen.
Lord and Savior, you have given us the ultimate sacrifice of your life on the cross. We humbly bring our pledges and offerings. Use these gifts to bring your kingdom to life here on earth. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much to those of you who are watching online. We're so grateful for your presence and for all of you who decided to be here this Sunday. We're grateful that you decided to join us, and we hope that this service was an inspiration for you as you go out into the world to serve Jesus in all of the ways that you do. I want to close our time of worship this day by telling you a quick story. This morning, a certain six-year-old that I know very well was arguing with me about coming to church. And he wasn't really all that upset about coming to church. He said, "I want to go to Sunday school, but I want to wear my sweatpants." And I pushed back, da, 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 da. And he kept saying, "I want to go to Sunday school. I want to go to Sunday school. I want to go to Sunday school." And suddenly I paused, and I realized I was majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. And I said, the most important thing is that he wanted to come to Sunday school. The second most important thing was what he was wearing. At the end of the day, if we're going to build a church where everybody is welcome, I have to be willing to accept that as well. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care whether there are children running through here wearing all kinds of clothing. I'd rather them be here than not be here. Let's build a church where everyone is welcome, regardless of what they say or what they wear. Let us be a place where everybody feels comfortable being exactly who God created them to be. As you depart from this place, I pray that you would have a fantastic and wonderful, happy Halloween, that you would enjoy this celebration of life and death and the sacredness of life. As you go out into this world, I pray that you would hold dearly onto the people that you love, and I pray that next Sunday we will celebrate the lives of the saints, the great people who have gone before us. I thought you were about to play "For All the Saints" for a second. I was like, that would have been awesome. As you depart from this place, I pray you will go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.